Hello, everybody, and welcome back.
This is Press Any Button. I'm Eric.
And I'm Nikki.
And we have taken a pretty long break. I don't think we've taken a break quite as long as we've taken between season six and this season, which is season seven.
Yeah. We were doing a different game every 2 weeks, and it was time for just a little bit of a break. I know I personally needed to do some stuff that got me out of the house. So I've been I've been doing a local pottery class with the Parks and Rec around here. I've been learning how to do the pottery wheel and things of that nature. It's been pretty fun.
Yeah, and we've got a whole bunch of new glasses and plates and
mostly bowls.
Bowls, yeah, a lot of
mostly
bowls.
Mostly bowls. Hey, I made that one thing that our kitchen brush sits on.
Yeah.
Like a spoon rest.
You replaced the other thing that the kitchen brush sat on, so that was cool.
Yeah. It's a nice break from all the digital stuff, because you're really getting in there, you're really doing stuff with your hands. It's very tactful and things like that. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
nice.
What
have you been working on, Eric?
So, I was feeling kind of inspired from Michael and his game, Mustard Man, and stuff like that. So, I've been...
Inspired or jealous?
A little bit of both, I feel like. Inspired and jealous.
Yeah.
But it is, it has been fun to learn. Like, I've been learning Game Maker and stuff, doing a bunch of tutorials and...
a bunch of pixel art.
Yeah, learning how to code and stuff like that. Or, well, I know how to code, but learning how to code within Game Maker and use the API and all that stuff. But yeah.
Now you've been doing a lot of tutorials and stuff.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun to learn all the different steps in the process. But it has been a little bit tedious, so...
For sure.
Yeah, taking up a lot of time.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about a lot of games where there's only been one person that works on the whole game, and it usually takes them a long time, so...
Yeah, it's not surprising.
We'll definitely keep you guys updated, you know, when Eric starts making some real progress and, like, wants to start putting it out there. But until then, stay tuned. Oh my gosh, Eric...
What's that, Nikki?
I'm feeling a little tingly sensation. Do you feel any?
You know what? You know, I'm feeling it a little bit too. Yeah.
There's something I should tell you this morning. There was a spider in the garage, neon green, and it did bite me. I didn't think anything of it because my arm didn't swell up or anything, but I have been feeling a little weird today.
Well,
did you see that when you left for work?
Yeah, I feel like that... Spider got me too. Yeah.
No way.
Ditto.
Are you able to go invisible?
No, I'm able to go semi-translucent.
Nice.
Which is actually kind of off-putting in a weird way.
I don't know. Sounds cool to me. But yeah, if you haven't put two and two together, we didn't announce a game at the end of the last episode, but today we are going to be discussing Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales game, which I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, me too. So Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales is a 2020 action-adventure game developed by Insomniac Games and published by Sony Interactive Entertainment. The game is a spinoff and continuation of Marvel's Spider-Man 2018 and the second installment in Insomniac's Spider-Man series.
And this was my pick.
Yeah.
And I gave Eric the super easy, super, super easy challenge of getting the platinum trophy. And we'll see later if he did that or not.
Just FYI, getting the platinum trophy was... get all the other trophies in the game. So yeah, we'll check back in and see how that went.
Yeah, I know. Nail biter.
And before we do get started, just a quick spoiler warning. We'll be talking about like the story and the ending and stuff like that. So if you haven't played this game and you're looking forward to that story, you know, play the game first and then listen to the podcast after. Yeah.
Cool. So, Eric, are you excited to learn about how this game got made?
Yeah. So, I have a guess.
Okay.
So, the Arkham people were like, let's make a Spider-Man game, even though I'm pretty sure it's a different company.
Totally. Done. Done the history.
Done.
We can move on to the fun facts now.
Piece of cake.
Well, so we're going to take it back to 2014. Insomniac Games is working on Marvel's Spider-Man, you know, the first one in this series. When pretty early on, Miles Morales starts to get mentioned. So the seed of Miles Morales being in the games and possibly having his own game was a pretty early on idea that they had whenever they were making the first Spider-Man.
Was the inspiration from the new Spider-Man movies that came out, the Spider-Verse movies with Miles Morales? Because that was my first introduction to that character.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure. Do you remember when that movie came out?
I do not.
It would be really good marketing if they kind of released them at similar times. But as far as what I could find in my research, I don't think it was directly on purpose linked up with the movie or anything like that. Actually, according to Brian Intihar, I'm probably butchering that last name, but he was one of the creative directors that worked on Spider-Man Miles Morales. He said, during the early days of development of Marvel Spider-Man, we discussed various ways on how to make our universe feel unique from other Spider-Man experiences. One idea included having both Peter and Miles live in the same universe and have their paths cross. The more we learned and read about Miles, the larger his role became in the game. So when the idea of him having his own game came up, at that point, it felt like a no-brainer.
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. So I guess they went a different direction of the Spider-Verse version where they'd kill off Peter Parker like pretty early on in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, so in this game, you have Peter and Miles, and they even, you know, they work together, and they're friends and all that
and
stuff.
And they're best friends, and they probably hang out all the time.
Yeah, totally. So in case you don't remember or you're not familiar with the series, the progression of the games is Spider-Man, and then Spider-Man, the city that never sleeps, and then Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and then Spider-Man 2.
Wait. So there's two games before Miles Morales?
Yes.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't know that.
The City That Never Sleeps could be like an additional DLC added on to the Spider-Man game.
That's probably
the same year.
That's probably what it was then,
I'm just looking at the list. But yeah, that is part of it, but it could just been a DLC. It probably is, in fact. I should have probably not even said it, but whatever. Here we are. But yeah, so this is actually a middle game, and it's sort of like its own game in a way. It doesn't really connect to the first one and the second one, I don't think. In my research, people were comparing it to like one of the Uncharted games. It was like a one-off game, but not really a part of the series.
Yeah.
So I think it's like kind of connects, but not really. I haven't played either one of the other Spider-Man games, so I'm not really sure.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me. They didn't call it this one Spider-Man 2.
Exactly.
They called it Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Yeah. So it was like it might be lightly connected, but it's really kind of its own game.
Yeah.
And tackling the 2020 sequel, Insomniac Games wanted to build on the success of Marvel's Spider-Man, but also add to the experience of the original game. And I think that shows up a lot because even like when they were making this game, because they were able to utilize so much of the pre-existing game mechanics and systems and stuff like that, over 50% of this game was done in 5 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fast.
Yeah, it was in pre-production from August to December 2018.
I mean, the more I think about it, it's like, okay, we can mostly keep the same map in New York. You know, the city doesn't like suddenly change. I mean, they probably had to go in and change it a good bit for like different sections. But like all in all, like a lot of the main buildings are still going to be there. Central Park's going to still be there. It's like, yeah, most of the assets are still going to be like New York.
And, you know, the swinging function of Spider-Man, that's going to be somewhat the same. I did read that they made Miles Morales more, his flying is more clumsy and theatrical than Peter's because he's younger and less experienced. You know, which I thought was a nice little touch. I'm like, man, I should have played the first Spider-Man game. But those games are still like $60.
Yeah, they're still pretty expensive.
I mainly got this one because it was finally on sale. I had it on my wish list. It finally went on sale. I was like, yep, I need to get that. But yeah, this is where they worked on making Miles Morales more unique and developing his skill set, as well as deciding on themes and the design of the game, was during this pre-production planning time.
Yeah, I feel like that was easy. Like, okay, we'll take Spider-Man and then we'll give him a bunch of extra powers.
Yeah. And so after that, the main production took about 15 months. They had 10 months planned, but ended up adding another 5 months on to, I guess, just kind of flesh everything out. So yeah, that led to it being released November 2020 with overall positive reviews.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I can totally understand why. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Are you ready for some fun facts?
Man, it's been too long since I heard some good fun facts.
Oh man, too long. And man, I should have looked up some of these fun facts before I finished the game because they would have been kind of helpful. Because my first fun fact, in fact, is that there are so many different abilities available in this game, such as a variety of gameplay options. It's hard to believe that there would be any buttons on your D-pad that aren't assigned to anything, right? There's so many moves, there's so many things you can do.
Yeah.
But actually, there's two free buttons on the D-pad, and you can program them to do like shortcuts, basically.
So you can do macros.
Yeah, I didn't know the name, but I'm like, oh man, they allow you to assign your own shortcuts. I was like, dang, I wish I would have known that when I was playing.
That's funny.
And that would have been I just thought that was a really cool addition. I don't think I've ever been able to do that on any other game.
Yeah.
Or at least that I've known of. Like, maybe I
could,
but I didn't know.
So you could assign, like, specific moves that would normally be a combination of buttons mm-hmm. to, like, yeah, a single button.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Would you have used that if you knew about it, Eric?
Maybe, you know. Once I got kind of used to, like, where the rhythm and, like, where to go, what buttons to hit for things, I kind of, like, didn't want to change it up too much.
Yeah, true. All right, fun fact. Number two, well, it starts out not so fun, but it ends fun, okay? As most people know, as you probably know, Stan Lee passed away before this game was released. However, if you want to pay your respects, there is a bronze statue of Stan Lee hidden in the city.
Ooh, that's cool.
And it's actually a trophy to, like, you can get if you go and pay your respects to Stan Lee, even though his name is Mike in the game. It's next to, like, Mike's Deli, I think. And on the front of his statue, it says, "Dedicated with love to the man who nourished our hearts, minds, and souls of the true believers everywhere. Excelsior."
That's cool.
So yeah, that was pretty nice little tribute. Stan Lee is a cool dude. And
yeah, definitely has a pretty crazy legacy. Yeah,
for sure. All right, and then fun fact number three. So Eric, did you notice any iconic New York City buildings that maybe were missing?
You know, I don't know enough about New York to really have noticed, probably.
That's true. We've never been to New York City, but the iconic Chrysler Building is missing.
What?
And do you want to know why?
Chrysler
because the Chrysler went... Building was in the Spider-Man 2018 game, the first one.
Okay. I was about to say Chrysler wouldn't sign the advertising deal.
Basically, Chrysler went under new ownership in 2019, and they were unable to reach an agreement before the game came out. So they had to change Chrysler Building to just some generic skyscraper.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're going to put something in there where someone can essentially advertise, you might as well, like, charge them for it or replace it, right?
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's cool. All my fun facts.
Good fun facts. You want to talk about the story at all?
Yeah, let's talk about the story a little bit.
So the Spider-Man story is that Peter Parker Spider-Man goes on vacation for 2 weeks, leaving Miles Morales Spider-Man, the only Spider-Man to defend New York in that very short window of time.
Who's a recent Spider-Man also.
Yeah, he's new. It's he's fine. He's new. It's 2 weeks. What can happen in 2 weeks?
What's the worst that can happen? Nothing, probably.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably going to be a very boring video game where nothing happens for 2 weeks and then he comes back.
Totally.
All right, so during that short two-week time, two factions form. We have the Roxxon Corporation with their experimental new power source called Nuform, led by Simon Krieger. And then we have the high-tech criminal group called the Underground, led by Tinkerer. Mm-hmm. And while both factions are fighting against each other, they also both make time to both fight against you, which is nice, you know. You have plenty of people to fight.
It's like a action triangle.
Yeah. A little triangle.
A violence
triangle, yes. At some point, you find out that Tinkerer is your childhood best friend, Finn, and that Finn's brother, Rick, created Nuform and was killed from it being unstable and unsafe somehow, but then Roxxon covered it up.
The bad guy covered something up? No way!
So Finn's ultimate plan is to basically sabotage a Nuform reactor to set off a bomb in an unpopulated part of Harlem to show people how unsafe Nuform is.
Sound plan.
Yeah,
nothing could go
wrong. Rock solid. Everyone is going to explode. Everyone's going to be like, wow, that Nuform
and
is really
no
unsafe.
No one's going to die.
No one's going to die.
Or get hurt. For sure.
So Roxxon finds out about Tinkerer's plan and decides to modify the reactor so the explosion will destroy all of Harlem for some reason.
Well, because he's the bad guy.
Because he's the bad guy,
that
I guess.
That was very bad guy-ish of him.
Yeah, I was just like, I guess if you're going to have two villains, you have to make sure both of their plans don't make sense. So after multiple stages of the final boss fight against Finn, she finally believes you that she's being set up and lets you absorb the energy from the bomb. And conveniently, your mom and friends all show up right at that moment, which even though you told them to leave because there was a bomb about to explode, they saw you get hurt and they were like, we got to go check on him.
Yeah. The stakes are high.
So you're being unable to safely dispose of all that energy. Like Finn flies you to safety where she dies and just her.
Yeah.
From the explosion.
Sacrifices. Yeah. It was kind of sad.
Yeah, it was kind of sad. But yeah, that's basically the game. Oh, and then Simon Krieger gets arrested, which is the least realistic part of the game.
Yeah, totally. You know, billionaires don't get arrested for things.
But yeah, so what did you think? Like, what do you think of the story?
Overall, I thought it was really good. I liked the story. Finn was, she was a little annoying. I'm like, oh my god, girl. Chill out. Like, all your family's dead, yes, but do you need to go full on villain mode?
Yeah, it's like she freaks out because you wouldn't let her kill Rhino.
Yeah. It's like okay. And it's also have you never seen any kind of movie where someone gets revenge? They don't ever feel good after it. It's not worth it. You do all this work. Yeah. You think it's going to solve all your problems, and you just feel sad still. So, you know, it's not going to bring her dead family back or anything. But you need that complexity to root for her and not totally hate her by the end, you know?
Yeah. Honestly, like, even though I was kind of making fun of the story in the synopsis, like, I thought it was pretty good. Like, you have good character development. The voice acting is really good.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of like Finn's, like, sympathetic villain arc where she comes, like, full circle and she ends up kind of being a good guy at the end.
Mm-hmm. Well, are we going into the pros
Yeah,
now?
Let's go ahead and go into the pros.
All right, cool. I really love the diverse cast of characters and the inclusivity of this game. It's just great. You see all kinds of cultures, races, like, just a lot of different kinds of people. And it really represents New York a lot better than a lot of other games I've seen.
Yeah, the demographics really give you like a feel of the melting pot that is New York for sure.
Mm-hmm. And it takes mostly place in Harlem, which I know is a little more of like a Puerto Rican sort of area. So that kind of makes sense. Miles's background and all that stuff.
Yeah, characters and settings were great. I feel like open world games in general can be kind of like hit or miss, but this one felt perfect. Like, you know, you're confined to New York, so it's not so open. Like, it gets boring. There's lots of stuff in New York, you know. Moving through New York was really fast. Like, you could get places really quickly. I think that had a lot to do with it too. So you're not just like slowly trudging along.
True. One of my top favorite things is after you beat the game, you can go on this mission and earn a suit that allows you to have Spider-Man the cat with you at all times in your backpack. And they even have programmed the cat to like be involved in some of your special moves, which is really funny.
those are great. I thought the outfits in general were great. Like, you have some great throwback outfits. You have some silly ones, like with the cat. I personally like the one with the Christmas cap and scarf.
Oh yeah, I did have that one on for a while.
Yeah.
But then once you allow me to have a cat, I'm never gonna not have a cat.
Yeah, true.
Like, that's just who would do that?
Yeah, and then I also like the fact that you could kind of like change them up whenever you wanted to, and that like they would be just part of the cutscenes. Like,
yeah.
So it's like they didn't change your costume back into like regular your regular costume during the cutscene. It was like, yeah, whatever costume, whatever silly thing you're wearing, that's you.
There's also a lot of like side missions and side quests and things you can do in this game besides the main quests. And I always appreciate those kind of things. It allows you to do different puzzles and just do like different tasks and gives you another checklist to check off.
Yeah, I like that too. Like, you kind of go back and forth between doing some story stuff, like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna do some side missions because I just kind of want to do some action stuff and I want to like sit through story. But yeah,
they've got like the time capsules, so you can go find those, and that's like memories that you and Finn share, or like something that evokes a memory. They have the chests that you can loot too. They're like Finn's chests, basically. You can steal her tech stuff. Then your uncle gives you these cool like puzzles where you have to find a sound and record like a sound bit.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of a neat change up from the normal just find that object. I was like, point to the sound.
And then there's like these stealth missions you can do, and yeah, a lot of like different options of things, different kinds of like gameplay situations, I guess.
Yeah, I honestly thought the combat and stealth sections of the game were great. They feel heavily inspired by the Arkham series. I feel like,
oh, for sure.
I feel like a lot of games are kind of inspired by the Arkham series of combat, though. That's basically your main combat is like that style where, you know, you have to dodge, you have to counter, you do combos and stuff. You have some moves that take longer, so sometimes you have to like dodge out of the move. I actually think I kind of like the stealth better, which is kind of like weird. I don't usually like go for stealth in games that much, but the stealth in this game felt like really, really good. Once you get the feel for it, like it takes a while to like figure out exactly how to do it where they don't like just instantly see you.
Oh, for sure. And you were playing on the hard mode, right?
Yeah. So it was like either I could sit there and wail on an enemy for a while, or I could just take him down with one button.
Yeah, one by one and be sneaky.
Yeah. Another thing I liked is it was just like you could go back and forth too, like in combat. So like you could go and do combat for a while, and then you could go hide and essentially go back to stealth mode if you wanted to. It would take a little while for the enemies to kind of like go back, but
yeah,
it was kind of like you could tackle it how you wanted to. So if you just wanted to go back, go into a situation and go full combat, you usually could. Or if you wanted to just take more of a stealth approach, you could.
Yeah, it kind of depends on which fights that you're doing, because sometimes enemies have this like technology where if you're invisible, they can scan and then it makes you not invisible.
Yeah.
And if they have that, then you can't go hide. Once you're in combat, you're in combat.
That's true.
You can't go back.
Yeah.
So if I was gonna be sneaky, I would just try to be sneaky until maybe there's only like three left, and then I would go fight them or something.
Yeah. You know, you could be sneaky until the little thing makes you uninvisible.
Really fast.
Yeah, you know, it gives you a second to breathe.
And speaking on that, I feel like the fighting mechanics are really fun, and it doesn't feel overly repetitive like in certain other games I've played where it's like, okay, I'm just doing the same three moves over again. The moves list on this game is really long, so I feel like it just didn't feel super repetitive.
Yeah,
which is hard, you know, for a fighting game.
It's almost too long. It definitely took me a while to like feel comfortable in combat. Like the first few times I'd play it, I'd come back to it, I'd be like, crap, how do I do everything? So I really liked the graphics. I thought they were fantastic and everything ran super smoothly. I think this game came out for PS4 originally, which might explain some of that. And we were playing on PS5. Mm-hmm. One of the things that impressed me most was just how quick the load times were.
Yeah, I noticed
that
too.
So if you were like fast traveling or something, you know, it would take like a second or something. Like it was so easy. So like it looked fantastic and it like ran super fast.
So, yeah, not a lot of glitches or anything.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ran into any glitches, actually.
I ran into a few. I remember booting the game up at one point and like I couldn't jump. Like I hit the X button, my character wouldn't jump.
Oh, that's weird.
So I just like fast traveled and then it came back. I guess it reset, okay. It reloaded or something. But
yeah,
that was kind of weird. Yeah, I was like, okay, why aren't you jumping?
Another thing I like is Miles gets additional superpowers in this one that Peter doesn't have, at least I know of so far. I don't keep up with all the Marvel stuff religiously, but he gets a couple of new powers for this game. One of them is power to be invisible, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it works great for the stealth missions.
It's great. And then he gets this like bioelectric ability where he can sort of charge himself with electricity and
yeah,
like,
kind of like stun enemies.
Yeah. And then it allows him to also use his spider webs to like
connect power sources.
Yeah, connect power sources.
So some puzzle elements in the
yeah
game.
But it's, you know, it sets him apart from Peter. And then it adds like some new gameplay elements, like with the stealth and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then my last pro that I have that I want to touch on is the soundtrack. The music in this game so good. It sounds like they have like modern day rappers and stuff that do songs, but the instrumental stuff is really good. Like, I like all the music.
Yeah, a really, really solid soundtrack.
There's even some like classic music at the beginning. You get to pick a vinyl.
Yeah,
kind of cool.
So I accidentally hit the wrong button when I was picking the vinyl, and I literally picked the first vinyl I picked up.
Oh, no.
Because I didn't know I was supposed to be like
flipping through.
Yeah, I hit the wrong button or something. And I'm like, crap. I guess I choose this one.
Well, they're all good, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Do you have any more pros?
My final pro is just like, so the game is roughly like 6 to 8 hours, which might be considered short, but to me, like it felt perfect for this game. I would rather have a shorter game with less fluff than a longer game that like drags everything out. And I feel like this game just didn't have much fluff. It was like, it was fun. It was like fast and actiony. So what's your opinion?
I thought it could have been a little longer. I'm glad I got it on sale, because if I would have paid like $50 for this, I would have been like, okay. Definitely wish there was more.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it could have been a little bit longer. I thought they could have had a few more, maybe like puzzle things to do or something.
Yeah.
But really, that's like the only con I have is like, I wish it was a little bit longer. But is that really a con? That's kind of a compliment to the people that made the game. So. Yeah.
While there were a lot of collectibles, there wasn't really like any challenge in finding or collecting them. There was just like, there were a couple puzzles. Where you had to like, you know, manipulate a crane or something like that. But I'd say like 80% of them are just like go to the spot and get the item.
Yeah.
And so I'm with you. Like I would have liked
Or like find something to pull down or something like.
So I'd like to see like a few more challenging puzzles. I know this might not be a fair comparison, but I always think of like the Arkham games with the Riddler trophies and stuff like that, where it's like, yeah, some of these are easy, some are hard, you know, some are kind of between.
It definitely feels like this game is more geared towards like a younger audience too. So maybe they don't want to make the puzzles be super hard or anything, or maybe like more for families or something. All right, so Eric, you want to talk about some strategy?
Sure. You don't want to start?
Sure, I'll start.
Yeah.
We kind of talked about this a little bit, but the list of moves is kind of long. So if you would just take a second, look at it, memorize some of the moves, that'll help you out a lot.
Looking at a list of moves.
like button mashing is not going to help you on this one, really, because then you'll end up just doing like simple kicks and simple punches. When you really need to be doing those combo moves.
Yeah, sometimes you got to hold a button as opposed to just hit it really fast.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
So for me, you know, I played on the hardest difficulty setting.
Yeah.
Because I'm really good at video games.
Because you're super hardcore.
And I found that sometimes it was easy to get like overwhelmed with enemies in combat. So like if there was the stealth option available, I would usually try to go that route.
Oh, yeah. I think it almost encourages that too, because some of the fights would just be, there's no way that you could take all of them down. You have to at least do half of it.
Especially if they're a bunch of like snipers and stuff, because they'll kind of like all like trigger at once or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
So stealth to me, like almost made the game too easy once I got good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like even the specialized enemies that like have the ability to look up and like scan a ledge or something, like, yeah, there was nothing really super challenging in the stealth sections. What's another piece of strategy?
I would say utilizing the fast travel, the subway system.
Oh, man, yeah.
Because sometimes it'll be having you go like 4,000 feet or whatever the metric is. And like, it takes you quite some time to swing that distance. So the swinging is fun sometimes, but it can take a while if you're going a long distance, so definitely recommend just using the subway.
Yeah, what I would do is sometimes I'd just look at the map and see if there's stuff on the way, or like maybe I could fast travel to something nearby where I could pick up an item first or something. I was all about like trying to map out the most efficient route.
Yeah, hey, that's pretty good. Pretty smart.
So the moves where you're temporarily invulnerable, like the Venom Punch or the finisher moves, it's extremely important to use those when you can, because you're temporarily invulnerable. Otherwise you get used to hitting the dodge button just a lot.
Yeah.
At least if you're playing on the harder difficulty settings.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Not really. We kind of already talked about doing some of the missions stealth. Like the stealth is a lot easier than combating a whole bunch of enemies. So it's like where you can just do the stealth stuff, but that's all I really have.
Yeah, don't forget, like my last one is just don't forget that you can make yourself invisible whenever you want.
Yeah.
As long as that meter's full. And that, like, even if you can't go back into the stealth section of the game, you can at least like give yourself a little bit of a break and like maybe like heal, or maybe get like a Venom Punch ready or something like that, or get like a move ready where you can be like, okay, coming out of this, I'm gonna do this, or go after this guy that's been like bugging me, like this guy with this gun.
And there's actually a few puzzles where you need to go invisible to get the time capsule or whatever too.
Yeah.
And there was one I kept trying to do, and I kept getting caught by the construction workers. They're like, get out of here. I was like, man, I'm gonna have to come back at nighttime. And then I was like, no, wait a second, I can go invisible. That's the whole point of this. Like,
yeah.
Okay. All right, Eric, so did you find anything about the future?
So there's the next Spider-Man game, which already came out, Spider-Man 2, which came out in 2023. Yeah, it's a weird trilogy because it's like Spider-Man, the 2018 one, Spider-Man Miles Morales, and then Spider-Man 2. Even though the story doesn't connect, it feels like a trilogy to me. I don't know.
Yeah. I saw that the next one in the series is supposed to be Wolverine, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's going to connect. I'm not sure why it's listed in the same series if it wouldn't be connected. So I imagine it's
together. That could be really cool. There's no announced release date yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd be excited about a Marvel's Wolverine game by the same company.
Yeah. I want to play the first one and the second one now.
Yeah, me too.
But neither one of them are on sale, and they're still pretty expensive. So.
Yeah, maybe at a secondhand store. Would be a good option.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I did put them on our wish list, too, so if they do go on sale, we can get them. But, yeah, maybe we should go check Mega Replay or Still Collectibles out.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
For sure. So, Eric, were you able to complete the challenge that I gave you that was super easy and probably everybody could do it?
The get every single trophy in the game challenge?
Yeah. You totally got all the trophies, right?
You know, I did 100% the game.
Nice.
On the hardest difficulty. So, I mean,
almost.
That got me about 34 out of the 50 trophies.
Yeah, you didn't even go visit the Stan Lee statue. So,
yeah, I mean, trophy. I could have gotten more of them, I think, but like one of the ones was like beat the game again on New Game Plus, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to play it again. It was a good game, but
immediately.
It was a good game, but like if I go back and play it, like I probably want to play some other stuff first.
Okay. Yeah.
So I didn't do it.
So you did not do it because you are so bad at the challenges.
Very bad.
Loser. I'm just kidding.
I feel like the challenge was kind of like a little bit over the top.
I feel
like you should probably rap too.
What? No, I definitely didn't give you the hardest challenge I could think of.
Get every single trophy in the game.
I'll do a short rap.
Okay.
I'll do a short little rappy rap.
Fair enough.
All right. Let's get into it. Where I go, I leave trails of mass destruction. You know me, I don't need no introduction. Finally following Simon's instructions. Might as well call me King of Obstruction. Making moves like a line production. After this, you'll need a man construction. Your mouth does a lot of this suction. All I know shows your mom art seduction.
Years of advancement in scanning technology, plus the ascent of our modern optometry. Now we can augment our cellular biology in ways to circumvent our natural psychology. We've come up with this plan after years of training to beat up Spider-Man while barely straining. It's all up to Diane and her ascertaining by looking up the scan and then slowly waiting. Spot by spot, she'll check one at a time. She'll rotate like slots and turn on a dime while I stand here doing squats and talking about crime. Then he'll get caught when she delivers like Prime. We'll run on the dot and we'll all take turns while we punch him a lot and spew some sick burns. Is there a meeting I forgot? Cause everyone adjourned. Holy great Scott, never mind, I'm not concerned.
Eric, you're always writing a chapter when I'm over here writing a paragraph.
Well, you know, I want to tell a story.
It's all about the art.
It's about the art.
I understand. Well, that was a pretty good rap.
Yeah, that's fun. You were Rhino. I was the normal henchman.
Just your normal everyday henchman.
Yeah. So do you want to hear about the next game?
Yeah, but before we talk about that, do you want to talk about our new podcast schedule that we're going to switch to?
Yeah, so we are going to cut down. We were doing like every other week. I think we're going
to... Yeah, every 2 weeks we were doing an episode, but we're going to switch to one episode a month now.
Yeah, and that'll give us some time to kind of like do some longer games. Yeah. It'll give me some time to work on my game a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which will be nice. But yeah, just a little bit different, longer schedule.
Yeah, it's like we still love doing this. We still love playing different games that we normally maybe wouldn't pick. So that's why we want to keep doing it. But we also want to play some other games and do some other hobbies and also do some longer games if we want to do a longer cozy game or, God forbid, like a Dark Souls game or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Then we'll have a little bit more time in between to do that kind of stuff. But yeah, we're excited. And I'm excited to hear what the next game is going to be.
All right.
It's Eric's pick, so you never know.
I'll give you a hint. It's a game we've kind of already picked.
Then why are you picking it?
It's a new version of the game.
Oh, okay. Mega Man. 48.
No.
I'm just kidding.
So, I've been playing it a lot. I bought it secondhand recently.
Oh, does it have our cat's name in it?
It does.
It's Doom?
Doom the Cat the game.
Doom the Cat. Oh, man. I would play that game. You'd just be going around getting into trouble.
So, this is Doom 2016, not the Doom, the mod that we played earlier.
Okay. And this one's on PlayStation.
We have the disc for PS4, but we can play it on PS5, I think.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that. I've heard really good things about the Doom.
So it's just called Doom 2016?
It's just called Doom 2016 is because there's an earlier game called Doom.
Okay. Kind of like God of War 2018. Yeah.
And so you have to add the year to differentiate.
Which we all know that's definitely not one of our biggest pet peeves.
Just call it something else.
Okay, so what's the challenge?
Okay, so as opposed to get every trophy in the game, I'm going to ask you to get one trophy.
Okay.
And it's a fun one to get,
I think. I mean, I asked you to get one trophy. It just encompassed all the other trophies.
The one trophy that was get all the other trophies.
I mean, yeah.
Okay, yeah, just get this one trophy. All you have to do, it's called Up Close and Personal. Just kill 50 enemies with a chainsaw. Piece of cake.
A chainsaw. That means I have to get close to
things. Yeah, it's called Up Close and Personal.
That are creepy. I don't know. I don't like this. And you know, you just picked that because spooky season's coming up, didn't you?
Nah, I mean, it is a little bit scary. You're fighting demons of hell, but
yeah,
it's in a fun way.
I mean, the first one we played was pretty scary and everything was like barely recognizable. Cause it was like 8-bit or something, but still.
But you're blowing them up, so it feels fine.
All right. Okay. Well, sounds fun. I mean, right. I liked the other one, so I think playing a newer version of that will be kind of cool.
Yeah, I think so.
Awesome. I'm excited.
Cool. All right.
All right. Until next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Like our podcast, please rate us, leave us a review, comment, star it. I don't know what you can do to the podcast these days. Spotify is always adding some new thing that you don't want or need, but if you could do it, it will help us get discovered and get listened. So we'd really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Bye.